God, we thank you for this morning. And we look at the areas in our life where we lack trust. Often those, I think, are the most of those areas are the areas that we try to personally control. Maybe it's our future, maybe it's our children, maybe it's ourselves. And as we try to cling on to these things that which we can't control, ultimately we recognize that we lack trust. And maybe for many of us here this morning, that's what we need, is we need to trust you because you are the creator. You're in control. The future is yours. Even our children, as much, I think, as many of us feel that tendency of want to hover, want to control them, we have to recognize and submit them to you to know that you're in control. They're your children. God, I ask that for many of us here who are doing that kind of control thing, that as we do trust you, that we would encounter your freedom to know that you've got everything under control and you're leading us somewhere. And so this morning we surrender to you and we thank you. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your leadership. We thank you that your presence is here right now with us. May we be aware of that. In your name, we thank you. And we all said, amen. All right, you may be seated. How are we? Front row's doing good. Back row. You like that? I whistled through my tea. Hey-o. Wow. Last week was Easter. I didn't know if you realized that. It feels like 3 weeks. It was Easter 3 weeks ago, but last week was Easter, and for those of you who were there, wasn't that awesome? Yeah. It was so cool. It was rad. I had like an Easter hangover. I was so excited. I was pumped, and then I took a nap. And I didn't really do much. It was the cool part for me is like Easter, typically I'm doing something, and I got to, new chair. I got to sit and participate in the service that way, like all you guys did. And it was awesome because every service, I got to be at all services, every service I got to watch. In particular, I got to judge Matt, and it was so exciting. I'm kidding. No, I got to watch God speak through Matt. In every service, God speaks through us in a unique and yet in the same way. We're not changing the message, but it's unique and different at the same time. And I got to watch that happen in every service. And I have to say, man, it was so cool to watch Matt do that. He did such a good job. I was so stoked on him. You can clap for that. It was awesome. It was so cool. I was like his number one fan. And he mentioned something, though, I thought that was really interesting, and something that I want to talk about this morning. He mentioned that when Jesus rose from the dead, other people saw him rise. They were able to encounter him, which is true. People did. That they weren't hallucinating. You can't have a bunch. We all can't hallucinate the same thing. That's not possible. And maybe we want to do that, but that's not possible. But what is possible is that they actually did see Jesus rise from the dead. And there are actual accounts within Scripture that talk about it. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at those stories of people encountering the resurrected Jesus and what that entails. And I'm kind of excited about it because for this morning, this one story that we're going to look at, which is in Luke chapter 24, you can open up your Bible to Luke 24 if you have one. If you don't have one, no big deal. We have an app. If you don't have a phone, a smartphone, I don't believe you, but if you don't have one, we have the Scripture up on the screen, so don't worry about it. It's all good. Luke 24, there's a story, and it's kind of like the Netflix series. And what I mean by that is it's like where you're binging on a Netflix series, and you get to the last episode of that series, and they do that thing that all of a sudden they switch something on you, and you have that moment where you're like, no way. One of those moments where you're like, what? That was unbelievable. I got to share it with everyone. Do you know what I'm talking about? No? Nobody watches Netflix?
Yes.
Jeez. First service did. But it's one of those moments where you're like, what? That's unbelievable. And it's like that kind of storyline happens within this story. And I love it. There's so much happening within the story that today we're just going to kind of skim across it. So I recommend just sitting with it for this week. Luke 24, starting in verse 13, is where we are going to be. And it is, it's just so cool. And a part of it here when it comes to Luke is he's going to weave a couple ideas. He's been weaving a couple ideas through the entire gospel. One of the ideas, just keep this in the back of your head, is the idea of a new exodus. That's one idea, a new exodus. The other idea is that this life is like a journey. So you have a new exodus and this life is like a journey. Keep that in the back of your head as we dive into this passage, this section of scripture in Luke 24, starting in verse 13. Luke says this. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. They're talking about Jesus dying on the cross and all that happened there. Verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. We'll stop there for a second. That's awesome. Sneaky resurrected Jesus showing up on scene. As they're talking about someone who they thought was dead, is now walking alongside of them, but they don't notice. That's so cool. Verse 17, Jesus asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still. In other words, they stopped in their tracks, their faces downcast. Why? Because the person that they've been following is now dead, right? The person that they've been following, it's over. They're headed back home because they have believed in a fraud. They're bummed out. So their heads are down low. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? I love that question because he's talking to Jesus. Jesus is probably just like, oh, yeah, I don't know, huh? He says, verse 19, what things? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. In other words, he practiced what he preached before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But he had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What was their hope in? That he would redeem Israel. Pay attention to that because that's really important. And what is more is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Now let's stop right there. Notice how Cleopas says that we thought he would be redeeming Israel. That this is where Luke begins to usher in this, again, this idea of a new exodus. And by new exodus, I'm referring to the exodus. And by the exodus, I'm referring to where God empowered Moses to deliver his people out of enslavement under the Egyptian Empire, under Pharaoh, and delivered them and set them on a path to the promised land. Remember that story, right? For many of us, that was the Exodus. That's what Passover, the time of Passover, that's what they're celebrating. And Luke is kind of bringing this along and reemphasizing this. There's a new Exodus at hand. But for Cleopas, he had a misunderstanding of God's mission. He thought that God would send this guy, Jesus, to deliver them from the Roman Empire. So when Jesus died, game over. Even more so, a dagger in the side is that Jesus died from the people that he was supposed to deliver them from. And so their heads are head down low. They're depressed. They're heading home defeated. They, Cleopas and many others, were thinking, well, they crucified him and we hoped he would redeem Israel. Only to realize in a few moments here that they crucified him and that was how he did redeem Israel. It's how he did redeem actually the entire world. And so what's happening here is Cleopas and many of the disciples and most of the people who are following Jesus were seeing him from the wrong end of the telescope. You know when you're looking at a telescope and it's like magnified as you're looking through it, but when you flip it around and you look at it from the wrong end of the telescope, everything's real tiny. They were looking at God. They were looking at Jesus from the wrong end of the telescope. They had a small view of God. They thought he was going to redeem them from the Roman Empire, but what they didn't realize is that he was going to redeem their life forever. Oh my goodness. And yet, how many of us, when it comes to living our own life, that we have a small view of God? We're like, nah, right? I know I do. At times, I find myself going, oh, God, you are, I don't know, can you help me out on this? Can you do this? And like, I feel like him reminding me, Sean, I created everything. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? But yet, I have a different view of it. I have a small, sometimes, view of how God would move. And as a result, I may miss out on things because my understanding of who he is tiny. And yet as I'm growing and walking with Jesus, I'm beginning to recognize, oh my goodness, his love is far greater than I could ever imagine. How wide, how deep, how high, how far his love is. His grace, his forgiveness, his mercy is extending more than I'd ever imagined. As I continue to see him and open myself up to his reality. And that's what's so important, because these people that were following Jesus knew the text. They knew it. And that's why Jesus here in a second will reiterate to them and will begin to show them that they have been viewing it in a way that isn't necessarily the right way to view it. As he's going to instruct them and show them that this is what God's word is saying. And that's what's so important even for us when we read the Bible, is to stay open. I think for many of us who have been Christians for a while, and we have learned some things, and we have been through lots of Bible studies, and maybe we've even studied it on our own. Maybe we've even memorized it. That is awesome, but what the tendency is that it can close us off to learning more. And what we end up doing is just trying to perfect what we already know. And that avenue, when we go down that route, we can end up creating God in our own image. We can end up figuring out God, so to speak, as we have mastered systematic theology and put him in all these little boxes. It's a tendency that can happen. We have to be careful. And so for myself, even for myself when I study, I want to keep myself open, because who knows God, right? He can be continued to discover more and more, and there's more depth to his love, and there's more depth to his forgiveness, and there's more depth to who he is, and we can continue to grow in relationship with him. And so stay open, that as you read this text, you may have read this passage over and over and over and over and over again, but the goal here within reading the text isn't to insert our own bias, which we end up doing no matter what, but it's to limit our bias and to begin to ask God, okay, God, reveal yourself to me. What are you saying to me today? I want to hear your voice. It's not so much me reading the scripture. I want you to read me, my life. It's not how much I'm underlining it and I can be like, look at all the colors. I read it a lot, which is fine, but it's not how much I'm underlining it. Rather, it's how much God is underlining my life. Right? You see that? See, for these people here, for Cleopas and for many of them, they had a small view of who God was. They had closed themselves off, so much so that Jesus is standing right in front of them and they don't see him. Oh, that's fascinating. That's hilarious. That's funny stuff right there. It's really funny, in my opinion. And I love it. And look at what Jesus does as he begins to show them, because he knows that their understanding, their concept, their bias of how they've been reading scripture is not quite fully there. That yes, God will redeem them. That yeah, you got that part right. But it's way bigger than you've ever imagined. Yes, God loves people. But and you're right. But it's way bigger than you could ever imagine. Verse 25, he says this. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." He was probably talking in third person too. "And that was about Jesus, and 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 that was about Jesus. Oh, and yeah, that was about Jesus too." As he went through all the way from Genesis to Chronicles. Now, for you Bible people, you're like, wait a second, that's not the end of the Old Testament. It's not, but it is the end of the Hebrew Scriptures. They had it reordered differently. So he would go through Genesis to Chronicles and showed them every single spot that concerned him, that was about him, that this whole story is about him and has been about him. And so he teaches them. And they begin to look at it, and he's slowly beginning to open them up to the greater reality of who God is and just how big he is. And the same would go for all of us. May we not limit God and how we see him, but may we begin to turn it around and be like, wow, God, you are that big. And if you want to discover more of how big he is, just tap into a little bit of science. Go look at how many universes there are. Galaxies, billions. What? It hurts my brain. Or then you go to the subatomic level. And there are particles of atoms that go from one location to another, but it just teleports. And they're like, I don't know how that works. It's unbelievable what people are discovering. And God has created all of this from the subatomic to the universe. It's like, oh my goodness, he is so much bigger than we could ever imagine. Keep yourself open, because who knows what he's doing? Because maybe you're walking along a road one day and Jesus shows up, you don't recognize him. And he starts talking to you. Be open and watch as you begin to discover more of God in your life. And maybe for some of you, you've been sitting here and you're against him. That's fine. He's for you. Open yourself up. Give it a shot. Why not? Watch himself show up to you in an unexpected way. Maybe a month ago or so, I was in Vietnam. And the executive director of an organization that I partnered with asked me to teach his staff on leadership. I'm like, really? Me? Okay. No problem. And I'm teaching in front of people that they don't believe in God. And so I'm not talking about Jesus particularly. I'm talking about leadership. And I use someone who was a really good leader. His name is Jesus. And I use his principles and things. I don't have to say his name to get things across. I don't have to say Jesus in English for people in Vietnamese to understand God. God can work through those barriers because that's what he does, right? And I'm teaching in front of the staff, and it was... For one thing, they all speak English well, but I have to talk slow, and that's a problem, as you all know, for me, because I like to talk fast. And so they do these things of like, in the back, the leader's like, repeat, slow down, repeat, slow down. So it's a good exercise for me as I am more conscious of the rate in which I am talking, as there are many things when it comes to public speaking that you have to be conscious of, like what are my hands doing, because you don't want that to be awkward too, so you'd be aware of that too, all those things. And so I'm talking to them, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up, or maybe I should say all of a sudden we're aware of his presence, and you could feel it. It's like dense. Something in the atmosphere is there. And I think for many of us, you know what that feeling is like. For you, it might be different. Maybe it was like a blanket, or you know, like electricity, or you get goosebumps, or whatever it is, right? You feel something has changed. And I'm talking about like servant leadership stuff, and I'm just sharing, and all of a sudden you could feel it. And one of the guys on my team, he starts crying, and he's like, "I can't handle what's going on right now. There's too much love in the air. I got to go to the bathroom." So he leaves. And he never came back. But they're all sitting there, and you just take this moment in and say, guys, do you feel that? And they're like, yeah. What is that? And I just asked them. And it says, God. Yeah. And he shows up in unexpected ways. The goal is to be open. Don't limit the way God can communicate to you. Don't limit him. He's bigger. He's greater. And whenever you think that his love is just like that, it's bigger than that. So cool, right? So moving on in the story continues. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly. Stay with us. And I can imagine Jesus going, okay. Just wanted to be invited. Stay with us, for it was nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, and I think that imagery is so cool. Jesus is sitting at a table. They're sitting at the table too. When he's at the table with them, he took bread, took it. He gave thanks. He broke it. And then he began to give it. That's important. We'll get to that in a second. And then verse 31, then their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. When they received the bread that he gave, their eyes were opened. And they went, oh, no way. And they saw him. And then he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Didn't you feel that? Yeah, I felt that too. Oh my goodness. And so they literally traveled 7 miles and then were so burning with passion within them that they went back. Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. When he broke the bread, their eyes were what? Opened. Now Luke is doing something here that's really important that people would pick up on in the ancient Near East, because there was another meal, a very famous meal, that set this world on a twist, on a spiral of decay and chaos. There was another meal where two individuals ate it, and when they ate it, their eyes were opened too. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 7 says this, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were what? Opened. And they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And I think for many of us, we know the rest of that story, that was the beginning of the creation encountering chaos, sin, destruction, death, decay. And what you are seeing here in Luke is he is saying, now something new has begun. Their eyes have been opened to a new kind of creation that is being birthed, a new exodus that is showing up, that Jesus has delivered us from the ultimate enslavement, that being death itself. He has conquered death. He has defeated it. And he hasn't conquered death in a way that in which he has died, he rose again, as if like Jairus' daughter who died and rose again, because she died, she rose again, but she will also die again. Jesus, something has happened, something different has happened as he has died, moved through death, through suffering, and out the other end, and now he is some sort of deathless creation. That he has been transformed into something new, and what Luke is saying here is as they took the bread, they recognized there is a new creation at hand. And it has started with Jesus as he is ushering in this new exodus. And the beauty of this new exodus that he is ushering in is that he is walking alongside of us, taking us along this journey to the promised land. You see, something interesting about this story here in Luke is that Luke has kind of created this idea of that life is like a journey. That faith with God is like a journey. You see, in the beginning of Luke's gospel in chapter 2, there was Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and they were walking to go celebrate Passover. It's one of the only stories that we have of Jesus being like almost a teenager. He's about 12 years old. And when they were there, they celebrated and they left. Only problem is about a day out, as they left, Mary and Joseph looked to each other and Jesus wasn't there. Now, they had some pretty big responsibilities on their hands, right? You are responsible for the Son of God. You got to feed him, make sure he takes some naps, you know? And maybe like one of them, the other one is like, don't lose him. And one of their nightmares became a reality as they were walking back home and Jesus wasn't there. I'm sure there was like a blame game between Mary and Joseph as she was like, you were supposed to, da, 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 and they started bickering back and forth. He's not here. He is gone. And so they went back looking for him and they found him. He was in the temple and he was, you know, sharing his knowledge about God and to the very smart people, and they were impressed. And all of a sudden they discovered him again. You have two people walking with Jesus. And then you have the end of Luke's gospel with two people walking with Jesus. And both stories have very similar tones to it. Both stories have moments of confusion, moments of a sense of loss, of misunderstanding, and then both having moments of discovering Jesus and seeing him, and the wonder and amazement and the beauty and the joy and the glory of it all, that Jesus is alive and he's still here. And isn't life like that, right? Don't we live life like that? Isn't life at times confusing? Like most of the time, right? Like, what is going on? At times we feel like Jesus isn't even there. Are you even here? Where are you? I don't feel you. I don't see you. I'm not recognizing you. Where are you? I'm not even seeing it. And then unexpectedly, out of nowhere, as we're walking along in this journey, we are reminded once again, or maybe for the first time, that he is alive and that he is with us and that he is for us and that he is guiding us, because there is a new Exodus at hand and he is taking us to the promised land. For you and for me, let's relax and enjoy this journey, knowing that you have things in your life right now that are keeping you up, maybe, sure. You have stress, you have anxiety, you have worry. Yeah, that happens. But God's got you. It's okay. There is a new Exodus. There is a new creation at hand, and he is leading us towards that place. He's leading us to the promised land. He is leading us to the place that he has created for all of us. He is taking us there, and he is so much bigger and so much greater than we could ever imagine. Turn the telescope around. Recognize how big he is. He's got you. It's okay. So much so that I would bet that if you could physically see him, if he just like went pop and showed up right now, which we'd all probably have a heart attack, and once we all came to and like saw him, they're like, wow, there he is. You know what we probably would say? Say, hey, it's okay. I got you. You want to eat some food? Let's have a meal. Let's eat together. Let's hang out. Let me share with you. You see, at the table, what did Jesus do? He took the bread. He gave thanks for the bread. He broke the bread. He gave the bread. Took it, thanked it, broke it, gave it. It's symbolic of what he has done for the world, as he has been taken in, as he has thanked the Father for this life and then was broken and given to the world at large. And then he, at the same time, invites all of us to the table, and he says, hey, I'm gonna lead you along this new journey. I'm gonna take you in as my own. I've got you. Recognize that you are blessed beyond belief because of it. And know that you are broken, aren't we all? And the Spirit of God empowers our weakness so that as God gives us to the world, we can go and love others as he continually loves us. So, take heart. God is here. He is leading us to the promised land. Let's enjoy this journey and let's hang out and eat at the table with him. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your leadership. I thank you for the call that you put on all of our lives. I thank you that you are in control. And even when we feel like you're not there, you are, because you're always present. So whatever is holding us back from being present, may we recognize in this moment that you are here and you are guiding us and leading us to the promised land. And we can rest to know that you've got us under control, that you are in control, that we can trust you. And ultimately, that's what faith is trust. We trust you with all of it. And so we take this time to worship you in light of that, to surrender to you and thank you, to eat together, to remind ourselves of the victory, to remind ourselves of what you have done. New creation, new life. It's a gift for all of us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, we all said, amen. In this next moment, the ushers are going to come forward. We're going to pass along the offering. And also, if you notice, we have communion here this morning. And so we're also going to pass along the communion elements. Feel free to take that at your own leisure. But for now, let's take this time to worship God. God bless you guys.